Good morning. Getting a little feedback. We might need to turn it down a bit, Mike.
That'll clear your sinuses. All right. We are going to be in Mark 10 this morning, verses 23 through 31. Mark 10, verses 23 through 31. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mother and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your house this morning. I pray, Father, that we be present in these moments, that we listen with open hearts to what your word has to say to us, that the Holy Spirit would be allowed to do his work here, that we be changed by what we hear and by the thoughts that we think and the questions that we ponder this morning as we look into your word. Help us to focus, help us to be clear, help us to understand. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been traveling through Mark, and here, like in the past, we see another lesson from Jesus to his disciples. The last time we spoke about the rich young ruler who had been seeking eternal life but would not give up his earthly treasures for eternity and spiritual or heavenly treasures. This is an important lesson for the disciples and for anyone who is not saved. And for those of us who are saved, it is an important reminder to us. It boils down to the very real fact that no sinner can save themselves. The problem for everyone here is that we are all sinners. Jesus states how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter. Who then can be saved? The disciples ask. And God says, Jesus, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With God, we have an all-powerful deity, all-powerful, omnipotent, the one and true living God who loves us. Nothing is outside of his power except learning anything new or sinning. Those are two things that God cannot do because God knows everything, and it is against the very nature of God to do anything that is against the nature of God. What Jesus is talking about to the disciples is the impossibility of salvation. This comes on the heels of the rich young ruler that we talked about last time, who came to Jesus with eagerness seeking eternal life. He comes right to the source of eternal life, although he didn't realize it. And he asks in verse 17, What do I do to inherit eternal life? The young ruler did not know whom he was speaking to, did not know that he was actually talking to God, but nonetheless, the man is asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life, to spend eternity with God? Jesus knows this man's heart because Jesus knows everything, and he does not give him the gospel. Instead, he tells him to keep the commandments. The rich young ruler tells Jesus, "This I have done since my youth." He is either being deceptive here or self-deluded, because irregardless, what he is saying is a lie. That's a sin. And the law exists to convince us that we are all sinners and that we cannot save ourselves because we cannot keep the law. And Jesus loves this man anyways and tells him to sell everything that he has and to come take up his cross and to follow him. The man, however, loved his wealth more than he loved eternal life, more than he loved God, and he leaves sorrowful. The rich young ruler chose his idolatry over eternity. His master was wealth and not God. If we desire anything more than salvation, more than Christ, then we will lose everything. The rich young ruler desired his wealth more than eternity, but he wanted both. Lord, I want eternal life, but I also want my earthly wealth. But the Bible tells us that we cannot serve two masters. Nothing can be before the Lord. There can be no two masters. There can only be Jesus. There are no half measures when it comes to God. Jesus, in this next portion of Scripture, our portion of Scripture for this morning, continues to build upon the impossibility of salvation. And he teaches his disciples about the potential danger of worldly wealth. Jesus states how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And how hard is it? It is impossible. It is impossible for a rich person to enter, but we can extrapolate from that it is impossible for anyone to enter. But let's get a little context before we go any further. Jesus states it is impossible for a rich person to enter. And in ancient times, a majority of your time would be spent trying to scrape up enough to feed yourself for that day, unless you were wealthy. Wealth provided a sense of security. Wealth provided time. You weren't out scrambling for your next meal. You had wealth. You had security. Even today, if we are wealthy, there is a sense of security that can come from that. I'm sure there are times we can all recall when we have not had enough money for something, as opposed to having enough money for something. I think of car repairs, which I hate. I hate car repairs. I can't tell you, even though my wife reminds me, it's maintenance on the car to keep it running, to keep it operating. But I don't like paying for car repairs, especially when those car repairs are unexpected or that maintenance was not something I was thinking about. There are times when we did not have enough money for new tires on the car. And in those times, we drew so close to God. We prayed to God, help us to find a way. We prayed that the tires would last until he had provided a way. As opposed to the times when we had enough money for the repairs. In those times, there's no desperation. There's no outreach to God necessarily because God's already provided the blessing for those things. We pray to God more fervently in times when there is a need than when there does not appear to be a need. The reality of the situation is that whether we have money or not, when we have money, it is because of God's provision. The irony of that is that in those times, it can make us less dependent on Him. We need to remind ourselves where everything that we have comes from, and it comes from God. Flip over with me to 1 Timothy 6. We're not going to jump around a lot this morning, but this is good. This is Paul talking to Timothy regarding the rich. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. There is nothing wrong with having wealth. If God has blessed you richly, praise Him for that. What matters is our attitude towards our wealth, towards whatever God has given to us. There is a right way to do it and a wrong way. No matter how wealthy or how poor we may be, whatever our circumstances are, we must not lose sight of the fact that every blessing and everything that we have comes from God. Just as He is the source of eternal life, He is the source of all of the blessings that we have as we are passing through this earth. The Bible warns us that money is the root of all kinds of evil. It can be a great blessing, it can be a great curse. And what depends upon whether it is a blessing or whether it is a curse is our attitude and our view towards not only the blessing, but where the blessing comes from. I have known people in the corporate world who are solely focused on acquiring wealth. And these people, as you see them come up, once they obtain that wealth, they reach that goal of, I am wealthy. I have enough for everything that I desire. You see that focus shift from accumulating enough wealth to accumulating even more wealth. And for some of them, it becomes a never-ending cycle. They're never satisfied. They're never content. They become worldly focused and utterly obsessed. The Bible talks about the folly of focus entirely on wealth in Luke 12. If we go through the Bible and we look for passages that talk about wealth and about money and about how to appropriately think about it and to use it, you'd be surprised at how many verses there are. The Bible talks a great deal about money. One, because it is a blessing from God, and two, because it can become a stumbling block to us. What we have to remember is that we are just passing through. Nothing that we have on this earth can we take with us. Denzel Washington put it in a way that always kind of pops up in my mind when I'm thinking about it. You will never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You will never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take anything that we acquire here with us. That is how we should think about it. If God has blessed us, praise Him for it. If God, regardless of what circumstance we're in, Praise Him for that. We are blessed more richly than we understand or deserve, irregardless of how much we have or how much we do not have. We must not lose sight of our eternal reward because we are focused solely on what God has blessed us with here on earth. When Jesus makes this statement about the difficulty of those who have riches of getting into heaven, his disciples are astonished. After he says that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, they are greatly astonished. Now, there are some that argue they're talking about the needle gate in Jerusalem, but that is not true. Jesus here is literally stating it is easier for a camel to travel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And the disciples are greatly astonished. Why are they greatly astonished by that? Again, we need a little bit of context this morning. It was a commonly held cultural and religious belief at the time that if you were healthy or you were wealthy or you were healthy and wealthy, then you were divinely blessed by God. If you were sick, it was because of a sin or a curse. And if you were poor, it was because you lacked a blessing from God. Hard to believe that when we look back at some of the wealthy people in ancient times and how they behaved, that they truly thought that they had been blessed by God and not of their own effort. But that was what they believed at the time. If you were wealthy, you were blessed of God. So Jesus, in his statement, turns it upside down and says, it is impossible for the rich to get into heaven. And you think in the disciples' minds, they must have been thinking, if they're blessed of God with wealth here on earth, how can it be that they are not blessed to get into heaven? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So the disciples, with this in their mind, ask, who then can be saved? If someone blessed of God cannot get in, then who can be saved? It is a narrow way. Many will seek, but few will find. The way is not an easy one to begin with. There are many stumbling blocks along the way. When we were seeking God before we were saved, there were questions in our minds, things that tripped us up about salvation and about God. We think about the disciples and the struggles that they've had, even here in the book of Mark, to recognize who Jesus was and to accept what Jesus was offering. And they had spent years under his teaching and under his guidance. And Jesus states it simply, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot even save another. Only God can. And that is in line with what Jesus has just taught regarding the rich young ruler. He thought he could keep the law in its entirety, and he could not. He thought he could save himself, but he could not, any more than we can keep the law or we can stuff a camel through a needle's eye. We are a sinner. No matter how rich we are, no matter what we do, we will never be able to save ourselves. With people, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Every time that someone is saved, it is a miraculous occurrence. Because a miracle is when God takes something that is impossible and makes it possible. The poverty of earthly riches other than the fact that they can be taken away, other than the fact that we can't take them when we leave this earth, no matter where we're headed, is that earthly riches, no matter what the amount, cannot be exchanged for eternity or for heavenly riches. I love Peter. Peter says, God, we have left everything to follow you. We have done what the rich young ruler was unwilling to do. Flipping back to Mark, this is Jesus' response found in Mark 10, 29 through 31. I'll give you a minute to get back there. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, households and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Peter says, we have left everything, God, to follow you. And God says, there is not one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now listen to this. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time? What is he talking about? You know, if we've left everything to follow Jesus, what have we gained by doing that? When we choose to leave everything and wholeheartedly follow Jesus Christ, we have eternity to look forward to. That is true. But right here, right now, we gain the church. We gain brothers and sisters in Christ. We gain a heavenly Father. We gain so much more to help us through this life until eternity. And that is the blessing that Jesus is talking about. That is the 100-fold in the present day and eternal life in the age to come. We become a part of the body of Christ. We become a part of his church. Now, it is not all sunshine and roses. It should be, but it's not. And I say should be loosely because with this also comes persecution. We as Christians will be persecuted for our belief. We may not be martyred. I pray that we are not. But we will face rejection in this life because we belong to God whom the world has rejected. And that is okay. It is not fun to face rejection. It is not fun to face persecution. But we have something that those who are persecuting us do not. We have God the Father dwelling inside of us. We have God the Son dwelling inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all of that. We are a part of a family that is bigger than us. They will help us. They will sustain us. They will love us through those persecutions. And that is how God intended the church to be. So yes, it is not an easy thing to choose salvation. It is a blessing, and a very rich blessing, and we must not lose sight of all that we have gained by giving up everything to follow him. We become a part of God's body, the body of Christ. We leave Adam and go into Christ. And with that comes persecution in the present time. But as Paul said, everything that we are facing now, and this is the Pastor Adam paraphrase, is a drop in the bucket for the eternity that we have waiting for us. The disciples had seen a rich man who was spiritually poor. We may be poor in the sense of material or monetary goods, but if we know Christ as our personal Savior, then we are spiritually rich and for all eternity. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my prayer for you would be that you would think about the message we've just looked at. If you have questions, that you would come and speak to us. If there is anything we can do, we cannot save you. Only God can save you. But if there are questions, if you are lacking something in your life, if you just want to know more, please come and talk to anyone in here. If they don't know, they will point you in the direction to go. We have the greatest spiritual blessing in eternal life with God in salvation, and we are so fired up about that that we want to share it with you if you do not have that, if you have questions. We won't embarrass you, I promise, but we will just talk to you. And that would be my prayer for you if you are here today and you do not have God as your personal Savior. For those of us who do, amen. Right? Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. You know, this has been hopefully a good reminder to us about all of the blessings that we have, not only in this life, but in the one to come. We've lost a lot of very special people, brothers and sisters in Christ, and that hurts because they're no longer among us. But they are celebrating not only their salvation, but the reward of it in heaven. And they are richly, richly blessed. So much more. But one day, if we know Him, that blessing will be our blessing as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this message. I thank You for salvation, eternal life. I thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ and all of the blessings that come from You, those we know about, Father, and those that we do not. I pray that as we go out, if we come across people who do not know You, that we would have a conversation with them if they are willing. Open their hearts so that we can have the opportunity to tell them about You. We know that it is You that saves and only You that saves, and we just are eternally grateful for that. Pray now as we sing and as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.